Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest is Stephanie Messenger. Stephanie Messenger is the author of Melanie's Marvelous Measles, which talks all about the benefits of natural immunity, and she is going to come on and speak about that, about a child of hers who has passed, and about the stringent mandates in Australia. Now, I have interviewed two other women from Australia about what is going down there, and it's very important that we educate the Australians and allow them to know that immunity, natural immunity, is the best way to live a long and healthy life. So I wait for Stephanie to call in now. I'm not completely sure she's online, if you want the truth, but we will find out. It's very early where she is. They're 14 hours ahead in Australia from the east coast of the United States. So I know she was up earlier today, but who knows? Well, anyway, I had an interview today with a different author, a journalist, and she was going through a lot of her articles, and we covered a lot of territory. I'm going to put that interview in the comment area just so you can catch up on a lot of the news that has been happening over the past year that a lot of people are not aware of, and you really need to be aware of what is transpiring, especially in the world of vaccination, because this is the greatest threat to humankind that I can conceive of. And I guess the best example of that would be the Spanish flu, which people don't realize was created by vaccines and aspirin combined. So basically the vaccine created the Spanish flu, and then the aspirin, which they were told was the antidote, in fact furthered the destruction, and 50 million died from this vaccine aspirin combination. I don't know of any war that has killed so successfully that many people. Okay, let me pick up Stephanie now. Hello, this is Sally O'Cordy. Is this Stephanie Messenger?
It is, Sally. How are you up there in New York?
Oh, well, thank you for coming to visit and for sharing your book and many other books that you've written with all the people who showed up that day. This is our third interview together, but quite frankly, Stephanie Messenger, famous author of Melanie's Marvelous Measles, I would like very much if you would share, even though it is belated, and I apologize because we were supposed to have an interview around Valentine's Day, would you share a remembrance of your child, please, with us now?
Oh, thank you, Sally. Yes, I would be honored to do that. The 16th of February is the day that we mark as a remembrance day for those who are damaged, disabled, or deceased from vaccination. So we all, you know, think very carefully on that day of what the mission is to save the children who are coming every day, so that they don't have to have the same fate that many of the parents like myself have had to have over the years.
Well, what was the name of your child? How old was your child? We want the particulars because we want to know what transpired, and perhaps other parents out there who don't understand why their child passed will be awoken in this regard.
Yeah.
In this regard.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yes. Well, my son's name was Jason, and I was a very dutiful mother and went and vaccinated him when it was due at 2 months, and he had what I now know was a severe reaction. He had lots of spasms, he had projectile vomiting, a whole gamut of reactions that happened to him. And being a young mother, obviously know what they were, although I did know that he was just vaccinated an hour or so before. So I called a doctor, and of course the doctor told me that that was normal, that he would be all right in a few days' time. And you know, having some faith in the medical industry at that time, I just believed that. And it actually did pan out that way. He did appear to recover over the next few days. So the next month went by, and then the next month rolled around where he was due for his next triple antigen. That's the pertussis, tetanus and diphtheria shot, which is pretty much the same one that's given over there in the US. This all happened in Australia. And but the second time that I allowed that to be done to my son, he had the same reactions but much, much more intense, and full-on seizures, and yeah, more projectile vomiting, and you know, his eyes would roll in the back of his head, and he would arch his back, you know, very stiffly for a long period of time. So of course, once again, I got onto the doctor, and she then told me that I needed to stop breastfeeding him and give him orange juice. That was her solution to him, his projectile vomiting. But also after another week or so, I did get an appointment with a pediatrician, and we went through some tests, and then I had to move to a major city, which was Sydney, and go through many, many months of hospital treatment and hospital tests, actually more tests than treatment. And eventually they told me my baby was going to die. So he did pass away some months later, 6 months after I was told that he would last about one more month or so. He did pass away, so it was actually quite a long, prolonged and I would say agonizing death. Obviously wasn't in his little body, but he was drugged for a lot of the time because we were in the hospital system. So that was the journey that took me into the whole issue of vaccination, and it made me really wake up a lot more than I was before, because I was a young mother. And I did wake up to some of what was going on at that point. And 8 years later, when I had my next child, I was actually very determined, of course, that I was not going to subject any more of my children to that procedure. But I did, you know, at that point, I was still very scared, because I was very afraid of disease, because I had bought into the whole germ theory and the whole fear that propaganda that is whipped up by governments and medical industry and governments. So I did more study into this whole issue, and was really very angry to find that there was no scientific evidence that vaccination will stop your child getting a disease. And I also at that point read product inserts, which I didn't even know existed, and I found all of my son's reactions were listed on the product inserts. So I have no doubt whatsoever what killed my baby. And so we remember on the 16th of February, which was his birthday, that, you know, babies are dying. A lot of the deaths from vaccination are fobbed off as other things. And in Australia, I mean, just about every side effect from a vaccine in Australia is actually denied. Whether that's through doctors' ignorance or a deliberate thing to make sure that parents don't know the truth, I don't really know. But whatever the reason being, it is totally unacceptable.
Well, it appears that there will be no choice in Australia as previously. Am I correct about this? In terms of
not exactly.
Okay.
Not exactly correct. Not completely correct. They're certainly trying to make it sound like there is no choice. but that is actually not true. What they are doing is trying to enact legislation that will mean that parents who have made an informed choice and choose not to vaccinate their children will not be able to get a childcare rebate. So our government, because childcare is so expensive, they want to encourage mothers in particular to be in the workforce. So they give some money back to mothers so that it helps to pay for childcare, and they are wiping that out for non-vaccinating parents as of the 1st of January next year if the legislation goes through. So people can still make a decision not to vaccinate their child, but they're putting this punishment in place. And there are some other government benefits that have already been in place, and they are putting a couple more in place. So they're really waving a very big financial stick at parents. But I can tell you now that it is not going to work, because my phones have been running absolutely hot for the past month, and my emails with parents saying, we are never going to poison our babies for money. It is just not going to work. A lot of them have said they will get out of the workforce, which will just increase the unemployment, and also, of course, that will be less tax dollars in the government coffers. And a lot of them are talking about getting together and sharing childcare things. I've had grandmothers contact me saying, well, they'll just have to be the primary carers for their grandchildren now. You know, people are prepared to do whatever they can to protect their children, and that means not pumping them full of toxic, you know, concoctions.
Well, I understand also from an article in The Guardian that religious exemptions have been nixed as well, and they don't say in that article that it pertains to people who are receiving funds. So I'm assuming that would pertain to the general population as well, or perhaps the general population is receiving funds. I don't know, but
nearly all parents with children under 18 get some money from governments. It used to be called a child endowment, and it was a small amount of money. It was something like $20 every month that we got. So there are those that are going to not be available anymore to the public, to anyone who doesn't vaccinate. But we never did need any exemptions anyway, except a conscientious objection form to get a couple of the government payouts. It is not compulsory in Australia still to vaccinate. We still do have that right to not vaccinate. But if you want some of these funds from the government, and most parents do get at least one, even if it's a small one, then that is, some of them are going to be wiped out. If the legislation goes through, and that is still an if, because there are a lot of people who have now got active about this, and a lot of things are being done. At this point, they're being done relatively quietly because of the anti-free speech extremists that we have in this country, as you remember from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's seminar tour being cancelled, which I was also organising. There was a lot of very militant people came out of the woodwork and caused a lot of trouble. We had things like bomb threats and all sorts of things, which was so totally over the top. But that actually also backfired, because so many more people started seeking out information about vaccination dangers from Dr. Sherry and from our group here in Australia. So when the media keeps talking about this issue, as they do on mainstream media every other day, there's some propaganda, it also gets a lot of people thinking, wow, there must be an issue, we better look into this. So
That Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's went from 75,000 supporters through the roof after that, and yes, that's how much attention was drawn to it. And so, well, she spoke with, she came and spoke, as you did, with me in Manhattan. And what a, she's a remarkable woman and so supportive and so knowledgeable. In fact, we had a lot of naysayers in our audience that day. And I said to her, you know, perhaps the best way to get through to them is to tell them how much of their tax-paying dollars are shoring up the pharmaceutical company. Beyond the fact that they have no liability, our tax dollars are actually shoring them up. This profit-making center, we are shoring up. Well, I find when I was reading this article in The Guardian that millions of dollars will be spent to pay doctors instead of, you know, helping people who have wish to preserve their choice. Millions of dollars will be spent instead to encourage doctors to push parents in that direction, in the direction of vaccination.
That's right, and but they already have been paid for quite a few years. They have already they were getting $6 for every vaccine that they give when they reported the vaccine had been done to our organization register. So they were already getting $6. Now it's been doubled to $12, and that's an incentive, obviously, for more and more doctors to, you know, basically bully parents into vaccinating. So, you know, it really is a testament to why so many people these days are turning away from the orthodox medical industry and turning to natural therapists. Because,
well,
you know, the medical industry, the medical industry is not really doing very much in regard to disease. They can only cut, burn, and poison people, and those are short-term fixes for things because they're never, ever getting to the cause of a disease. So people are turning away from that industry in droves in your...
I have just lost my guest, Stephanie Messenger. She's dropped. Hopefully she will call back into the program. But I was also reading an article from Activist Post, and it was written by John Rappaport, about how the Prime Minister of Australia used to be heading up the health department there. And back in the day, he said that he would not give his own children the HPV vaccine unless the government required it. I guess he had long-range vision there, but he himself was exercising a choice that then now is being denied to people in Australia. So that is, of course, hypocritical, and I'm glad that he wrote that article to bring people's attention to that. But why did he know so far in advance, I guess, that unless the government were to require it? So this, you know, as returning to Dr. Tenpenny again, this has been planned for a very long time. There's the Healthy People 2020 plan. I'll post that in the comment area underneath. And all relevant issues that we bring up, we will follow up with links in the comment area under the screen for the radio show. Oh, good. Stephanie appears to have called back into the program. Hi, Stephanie.
I have. I am back. Hi.
Well,
hi.
So, while I was just saying that, giving a little bit of the history in terms of your prime minister back when he was in charge of the health department, was saying that he would not give the HPV to his own children unless the government, you know, required it. So I'm saying this has got a history. This has been planned for a while, and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny has pointed that out in the USA since the 80s. The Healthy People 2020 plan had 1,200 recommendations of how to corral people into accepting vaccination. So anyway, let us get back now. Where did you drop off? I don't recall.
I don't really know, but I have great faith in people's ability to see the truth when their eyes have been opened just a little bit. right? So what is happening now is more and more people, because of the internet and the information is much more readily available, more and more people are looking much, much deeper. Even, you know, going on to Dr. Sherry's site, that is all reference material. Yet, you know, some people who are extremists are always going to say, oh, well, it's not the, you know, the right reference material. But we need not waste our time on those people. I think their brains are already injured enough with fluoride and enough vaccines. We need to really focus on all of the new parents coming through who now are being jabbed with vaccines during pregnancy, which was just always a total no-no that you did not take anything during pregnancy, and now they just don't care about those warnings from, you know, that wisdom from the past. So these are the people who are now looking into it much more thoroughly, and, you know, once people have really looked into it at depth, they're not going to turn around and say, oh, yeah, we suddenly trust the drug companies and the government. They're really a wake-up to what is happening. So, yeah, we need to also really be mindful that they are trying to censor the internet, because they know that most parents are getting information from the internet, and they're trying to discredit a lot on the internet. But, you know, if parents look at reference material, then they're good to go.
Stephanie, I can't hear
yes.
you. Yes. Oh, okay, you're back.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes, I can. This
I was talking. I hope it hasn't dropped out.
Yeah, well, yeah, so you were talking about censorship on the internet, which is so ironic, right?
Yeah, well, that's right, exactly. Prime Minister really is, you know, he has vaccinated his children. We don't know if he's vaccinated with the HPV virus vaccine or not, but the bottom line is that we can't trust politicians to be making decisions about our health and our children's health. It is just ludicrous.
Wait,
that
we can't trust the health department either. We certainly can't trust them here in New York City, I'll tell you that much.
Mandated
a flu shot and then would not retract it, although it was stated clearly by the CDC themselves that it didn't work. So we have the youngest are being mandated with this very dangerous vaccine, and even though it doesn't work. So, you know.
Yeah, it's exasperating, isn't it? But we just really need to keep educating people as much as possible. And there needs to be things like, you know, a march on Washington and a march on our capital as well. People need to be out hitting the streets. It's time that people saw, that mainstream people saw, that there are many, many thousands and probably hundreds of thousands of people now who are educated. And, you know, this is a revolution, and we have to get out there and be putting it, you know, to these politicians. In Australia, the legislation has not been enacted yet. It is still in stages of being drawn up. So we're mobilising many more people to go to their politicians and let them know that they will not be getting their vote next time if they support this discrimination and coercion that is going on.
I'm thinking pots and pans like Iceland, because 750 constituents made a very long trip to a remote area of California, which is where the state capital is, 750 to oppose, step up to the microphone and say, I oppose these mandates. And only 50 stood for them. So it's 15 to 1 who are vocally making the trip, the effort, taking the day off from work, leaving their vaccine-injured children, many of them, I'm sure, with grandma. Some people came representing thousands of others. Literally, I represent 2,100 people in this area, and I represent 4,000 people from that area. So I'm just counting the individuals who showed up, let alone the people they represented, and they were 15 to 1 to oppose something that then passed. And tomorrow is the third vote on it, and people are feeling very bleak. But these are very active people. I haven't seen this much activism, this much pushback against vaccines anywhere in the United States, and it has yet to take form. And one woman I interviewed the other day is calling for a strike to keep the kids out of school on May 11th and go to your local town hall and protest. Well, go to your local city hall and protest. So that's good for her. She can't mobilize in time for this vote tomorrow, but they need to know that this is what's coming.
Yep, that's right. That's exactly what has to happen. Just like every other revolution, it's got to be the people that get to the streets and let their voices be heard. Because, as I said, we are now hundreds of thousands of people around the world now are wake up to not only vaccination, but the agendas at play. So we need people to get out of their living rooms and get out onto the streets and do something about it before they have absolutely no rights left.
That's right, and this is the critical one. This is the one. They've managed to keep people snookered, and they've ridiculed anyone who speaks out. Ridicule is a very big tool that they have used against people, and very successfully. People fear ridicule more than anything else in the entire world, it appears, because they will be silenced by it. And I have to tell people, you know, ridicule is only that. It's just ridicule. Stand up, be counted, don't accept it, educate people, and just hand out a list of ingredients. That's what I do. I hit the streets and I hand out a list of ingredients and vaccines. Why? It says everything people need to know. It's poison.
Exactly. Yes, well, we just need more people doing what you're doing, Sally. You're doing a terrific job. We've also got to be, when election times come up, we've got to vote for people who aren't of drug companies and this tyranny that's happening. So that's another thing that we need to do. We need to be voting. It's just like
I'm running for mayor. Stephanie, I'm running for mayor of New York City for a vaccine-free NYC, and my premise is poison should be illegal.
Fantastic, Sally. That is really wonderful to hear.
Yeah, and I'm also on the steps of City Hall all the time, and I get it on television. I get it on public access television, which we enjoy here in America. But do you have public access, local cable public access television in Australia?
No, not really. It's all fairly well owned by just a few people. So even our government channel, the ABC here in Australia, is a government channel, but there's very little that ever gets on that is unbiased. But I will say, I have seen just over the last week many more letters to the editors in newspapers all around Australia that are presenting the opposing view to the pro-vaccine discrimination. So that's been very refreshing to see, because our local newspaper will not print anything that I ever write anymore. And when I submit letters, they're very moderate. I try and tone them down as much as I can while still making a point. And they still, I suspect they've been told not to put any more in from me. But it has been refreshing to see a couple of articles and letters to the editors getting into local newspapers, which still have quite a good readership here in Australia.
Well, that is refreshing, because certainly you could not get past square one here in America in that regard. We are having no success in getting mainstream media. That's why I say local public access is our only outlet in the mainstream, which is such a gift. But often they air my programs on mute. I foil them because I hold up posters during them. Or they'll change the name of the show from The Vaccine Hoax is Over to Alcoholics in Recovery. So yeah, You have to have a sense of humor about the whole thing. But anyway,
you do. Yes.
But anyway, so I appreciate your call to action, but I'm also heartened to hear that people are getting active and that the mainstream media is letting through the editorial letters to the editor, real letters getting out there. Wonderful.
It is. It is. Look, you know, the bottom line I always say to people, you know, most doctors, most media people, like the people on the ground, they're actually good people. They've just been hoodwinked. They've been, you know, they've gone, the medical profession's gone to drug company-sponsored universities, and they don't even know, most of them, that they've been hijacked by Big Pharma. So, but more and more, those people are waking up as well. So I think, you know, journalists also don't want to appear to be biased. If they're doing their job properly, they should be presenting information from both sides, which we know doesn't happen that often, but... You know, sometimes if you can get one letter in, you just never know how many people are going to read that and think, oh, well, I think I might look into that. That person makes a lot of sense. So we need to just keep our efforts up and keep working against the tyranny that is determined to poison the entire population and make them customers for life for Big Pharma.
Well, I would like to follow up on the march aspect. I have banners that say Billion Toddler March for Survival, Vaccine-Free 2015. Now, Vaccine-Free 2015 is the legislation I keep sending to Congress. I've been doing this since 2009. It was all vaccines are banned, then banned vaccines 2013, and this year is Vaccine-Free 2015. But I have my blog has a page filled with banners that say that or Vaccine Free to Victory, or hashtag CDC whistleblower, hashtag hear this well, just a myriad of, you know, living the sweet life, vaccine free, you name it, I've got banners. So anybody who wants to march, Stephanie and I will definitely have to plan a date for this, and it will be a worldwide march, because this is a billion toddler march for survival. It was intended to be worldwide.
Uh-huh. I think what we're doing in Australia much more right now is the focus has shifted off vaccines a little bit.
Hello, Stephanie? Oh, I've lost Stephanie again. Oh, boy. Well, what else is that? I was going to tell you something else. We do banners, we do public access, we do, well, you know, I have a radio show here, three of them on Blog Talk Radio. Unfortunately, when I get a very important guest like Stephanie, sometimes that guest is dropped. Other times I am dropped from my own show. And quite frankly, she can't call in anymore because it's past the half hour. Oh, I'm so, so sad. Well, everybody, scroll down underneath the screen, and you will see links for Stephanie's Melanie's Marvelous Measles page. You will see a link to purchase her book, and you will see a link of my legislation to Congress, Vaccine Free 2015. And you can copy and paste the text of that. It'll fit on one page. That's right, a bill that's only one page. And you can print it out and hand it out in the streets, as I do. It has all the ingredients, which are all poisonous. It has all the diseases that result from these poisonous ingredients, which are all diseases in internal medicine. And it has four parts of intent. There's much more intent, but four significant parts of intent. And then also important issues like the mortality rate being completely linked to the number of infant mortality rate being linked to the number of doses given per country. And the United States has a very, very, we give the most vaccines and our infants are dying the most. So you don't want to be number one in this, believe me. And, of course, a vaccinated versus unvaccinated study. This was done in Germany, and they found that between 2 to 5 times as more diseases more chronic illnesses in children who are vaccinated versus children who are not vaccinated, and then some really good websites created by parents, educatefortheinjured.org, and the four is the number four, educate the digit four, theinjured.org, and vaclib.org, that has a wealth of information. Mine is billiontoddlermarch4survival.blogspot.com. And then it also has a group of doctors, including Sherry Tenpenny, who we've spoken of several times in this interview. Her, this is called vaccinationcouncil.org. Vaccinationcouncil.org. And all licensed professional doctors and scientists contribute to that page, to that website. And also one that I give to parents who will not take my cards or my flyers in the streets, I will just yell this at them as they walk down the street, novaccine.com, singular, novaccine.com. And they have each and every vaccine with, you know, let's say pertussis. You go to click on pertussis. It gives you all of the vaccines that are manufactured. They give you the manufacturer. They don't give you immense amounts of information. They give you what you need. They give you the name of the vaccine and the manufacturer, the ingredients in the vaccines, and the reaction, the adverse reaction. The key is to understand that the adverse reactions are typical. They are not one in a million. And one in a million is what we are being told by our doctors. So know that the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors bear no liability for recommending or inoculating our children. So when you realize that, that's a big thing to realize. And by all means, tell all parents that the only person liable for any of this, including a jail sentence if the child dies, is you, mommy, you, daddy, and possibly even some poor babysitter who comes to watch the kid after mommy and daddy inoculated it and spent the rest of her life in jail. So this is a very serious issue. I have interviewed Dr. Vera Scheibner, also from Australia, about this issue, and I will post that link as well in the comment area underneath the screen. But she has written several articles on measles as well, and she says that basically the benefits of measles are beyond lifelong immunity to naturally acquired measles. The benefit of that beyond lifelong immunity to the measles is that it also protects you from certain cancers. And I was interviewing interviewing Karen Johnston of the Vaccination Information Network the other day, and she was saying that in the movie The Hidden Truth, it also extolled the benefits of naturally acquired measles in terms of your artistic abilities. Isn't that interesting? So anyway, nature has been around for a long time, and people have been around for a long time relying upon nature. So I thank very much. Make sure there's nothing else I want to tell you. All I can say is do not go quietly. This is a train wreck that is going to happen, and it's happening right now. You have to wake up. You have to wake up everybody else you know, and we have got to stop this tyranny. I thank you very much for listening to my program today. This is Sally L. Cordy. The show is called Public Advocate on Blog Talk Radio, and my honored guest today was Stephanie Messenger from Australia, author of Melanie's Marvelous Measles.